Hello, Michael Lombardo here. Welcome to Awaken Podcast. It is my joy to have a close friend on the show with me today. But before we jump into this conversation, if you are new to the podcast, we have an episode releasing every Monday on charismapodcastnetwork.com. You could also go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere that podcasts are listened to. You could also go to YouTube. You could press subscribe there. Our video content is on there. There is hundreds of hours of free content, teachings, revelation, as well as conversations with amazing leaders in the body, authors, missionaries, pastors, itinerant ministers, prophetic people from around the world. It's going to edify you. It's going to uplift you. It's going to awaken you. Ephesians 5:14 says this, "Awake, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." That was spoken to believers, not unbelievers. Awake, O sleeper, may the presence of the Lord God Almighty rest upon you. Step into resurrection life. And so that is the heart of this podcast, for us to be awakened, to see Jesus rightly, to see his cross, to know who we are, to walk in the fullness of our identity and purpose, to know the gifts and the callings that are on our life. And so no further ado, I want to bring my guest on the show, Eric Gilmore. Welcome, man.
Bro, thank you so much for taking time to be with me. I love talking with you.
Dude, thank you so much for coming. It was a blessing to have you last year come to Awaken Dallas and pour into our church as well. Thank you so much for that, man. What a word you brought.
Yeah, your work over there is so pure and so beautiful. The worship time, the commitment to the Word of God, the sense of family in the midst. I was really blessed.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to have you again. I love to have you again, bro. And so this is Eric Gilmore. For those of you who don't know who he is, his ministry is called Sonship International. He's a close friend of mine. He travels all over the world just dunking the church in the presence of God. He wants to call believers, sons and daughters, into an awareness of God's presence, an experiential relationship with God, which is what we are all called to. He also released a couple new books just recently, one called Delighting in His Presence, that was released through DI, Destiny Image, and another one called The Good Shepherd. And so go ahead, I'm sure you can get it on Amazon, as well as go to his website, Sonship International. You go to his YouTube channel as well. There's a lot of worship on there. I listen to you on Spotify. Your instrumentals and your worship, man, always just take me to that place. So thank you for pushing out all that content, man, just being who you are and just helping us in that way.
Thanks for listening to it.
It's all right, man. Let's talk about Jesus. How does that sound?
Oh, that's what we're here for.
That's exactly what we're here for. And so, you know, being a believer almost 18 years now, how long have you been saved?
I got saved in 92 at a youth camp, but then I got rocked in the Brownsville Revival in 96. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you've been a believer for a while, since 92. I've been a believer since probably 2008, 2007. No, it was 2008. And so I experienced the presence of the Lord and I was swooned by him. I fell in love with him. It was like all the drugs and the women and the partying and the money and the stuff that I was chasing. It was vanity of vanities because he is the reason for my existence. I was born to know him. I realized everything else was a counterfeit, all inferior carnal pleasure. And that is, I was dunked in his presence and that was everything to me. And so, you know, over the years, like this has been my journey. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I want to not only experience him here and there, but I want to abide in this beautiful presence. So this is my journey. But also at the same time, man, what I do see, among friends of mine, believers in general, as I've traveled the world and done different things, Bible school, missions, now planning a church, is that people really struggle to experience the presence of God. Or, you know, we know we need to pray. We know we need to spend time in the scriptures. Like, these are things that we understand. We've heard the sermons. We know the tenets of the Christian faith, that you know, these things are important to us. But people have a really hard time doing it, just living it out and living that life of prayer and developing that. And unfortunately, what I find is that as believers, when we don't have a sense of his presence and we're not walking in the spirit, we wind up in our own strength and our own abilities with just dead religion. And then we wind up struggling with sin and we wind up just, you know, living in way less than what God has called us to. So I just wanted to bring that up to you, man, because what I find is Christianity without the presence of Christ is dry and mundane and we're left to our own devices. And so what have you seen, Amanda? What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, that little clip right there, everything you just said is so needed. And I know you walk in this, you and I have talked many times about these very things. And it's amazing to me how it's still is the flicker in your heart. You want to depend on Jesus, live in his presence. And it's a point of commendation, I believe, even as a friend to a friend, bro. You have stayed here in first love. I think you're nailing the root of what a godly life looks like. As a matter of fact, man, I looked at this verse today. It's Psalm 109, verse 31. This is just bananas. So it says here, Psalm 109, verse 31. Let's see if I can grab it here. It says, let me start with 30. Watch this. Yeah. With my mouth, I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many, I will praise him. Watch this. He stands with or at the side or at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. But two things I wanted to point out here. Yeah. You have God stands next to at the right hand of that's presence with the needy. I think need is the recognition of God's presence. And the recognition of God's presence is need. It's realizing, God, I don't have what. As a matter of fact, this word here that's used, I don't know Greek or Hebrew. This is written in Hebrew here. But the word is Strong's 34, and it means completely poor. Bro, listen to this. Holy, completely, that's W-H-O-L-L-O, holy, destitute, insufficient. It means necessitous. It means emaciated.
Wow.
It means extreme want. It means destitute of strength. Watch this. Wow. Beauty, dignity, value, importance, qualities. It's barrenness. So when he says the Lord stands at the right hand of the needy.
Wow.
This is inseparable from recognizing, God, I can't do anything without you. I am so in need of you. I don't have beauty apart from you. I don't have strength apart from you. I don't have importance apart from you. I am barren. I have no qualities. I am destitute on all sides, and I am deeply in need of you, God. I think what you just nailed in that first little bit in this question, this is it. Yeah. This determines who's going to walk with God and who's not going to walk with God. Because the inverse is true. When a man thinks that he is enough, I'm sufficient, my strength is sufficient, I have beauty in myself I have an importance, I have qualities in myself I have value even without the Lord.
Wow.
This is what we declare to God and to when we don't depend on him. We are, whether or not we want to say it, what we are exemplifying and speaking out by our lives, if we're not dependent upon the Lord, is I got this. I have power to be able to do this. And so because of that, the prideful, they don't enjoy the sweet grace of God, because the Bible tells us God resists that man. Wow. But he gives grace to the humble. That's, so I think you nailed
it,
man.
That's exactly the scripture I was thinking about. He opposes the proud, but he pours out grace on the humble. Wow. Oh, so good.
Praise God.
The phrase of the Lord, bro. And so the one thing that this is, man, just, we could talk about need and dependence. And I think people, it's just an idea in their brain, you know, it's that simple. It's recognizing your need. If you don't recognize your need for him, you're not going to come to him, right? You're not going to come to him. You're not going to prioritize sitting with him. You're not going to be drawing on him, pulling on him, looking at him, because you don't recognize your need for him. And something that I've said to our congregation many times is prayerlessness is a symptom of independence in our hearts.
Absolutely.
Prayerlessness is a symptom of independence, and we don't even realize, and we wouldn't say out loud that I don't need God. Of course we know that we need God, but daily ignoring him, daily not being with him, pulling on him, looking at him, is actually our heart saying that we don't need him. We can go about this day and do our things. We could be happy and we could enjoy life, which is a delusion in and of itself, because we need him to even live. We need him to even give us breath in our lungs. We have no clue about how dependent we are on him. but like an active dependence where we are participating in the divine life. And so, but bro, that is beautiful. Recognizing our need. There's a, this actually a crazy story pops into my brain of when I was in Bible school, you know, newly saved, but everyone's really zealous for the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and it's amazing. You know, we learn to prophesy by prophesying to each other and getting it wrong and all this stuff. And so, but there was this girl, there's like six of us, we're all hanging out, and this girl goes, let's ask the Lord, like, if we were an animal, what animal we'd be, like, in the spirit or whatever. And I'm like, that sounds weird. I'm like, I don't like, I'm like, to this day, I wouldn't encourage that necessarily. You know what I mean? Because it can get off, it can get weird. But we were, like, young in the Lord, and we were like, okay, let's just pray and let's see what the Lord does. And I got three pictures that somebody gave me that speak to me to this day. One of them, this girl said, I see you as a rooster waking people up. And she wow. had no clue that Ephesians 5:14 was the first scripture I ever memorized. And this is way before Awaken Podcast, Awaken Dallas, and how this became such a massive theme in my life to wake up the church. And so to this day, I remember that girl prophesied that I was a rooster waking up the church, waking up the people of God. And then this other girl said to me, she goes, I see you like a turtle. And she says, on land, you're very, very slow, but in the water, you glide. And I was like, what? And it resonated deeply within me because I was like, yes, I feel my insufficiency apart from God. Like when I'm not walking with him, talking with him in the spirit, in that place of communion, I feel my need. I feel my weakness. But when I'm in that place of abiding and walking with him, I feel like just that ease of life. And so interesting. I'm not recommending people pray what animal you are in the spirit or whatever. I can't find a scripture, chapter, and verse for that. Okay. But what I can say is that really blessed me, man. And that word really resonates of like, wow, like, yes, I like in on land, just like without the presence of his spirit, without that intimate communion with him, I could go about life, but it's not going to be in the manner in which God destined for me, you know? And
absolutely.
And also, do you think, Eric, that many people are battling with sin struggles? Many people are battling with like being in limited boxes and not stepping into what God has because of this lack of prayerlessness or not recognizing their need. You think a lot of it stems from that?
I do. I didn't know where you were going to go with the whole animal thing, but it ended up being pretty good.
I know, dude. I never threw that out in the podcast yet. I got to keep us on our feet. You know what I mean? I have to be.
So I think what you're talking about right now is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Watch yes. this. Verse 13, it says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die.
Yes. Yes.
But then it says, but if by the Spirit, mm-hmm. you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you mm-hmm. will live. Wow. I want to emphasize that you and I know, because we've tried. Yeah. To put to death the deeds of the body. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating. Mm-hmm. It is futile. It's vain. You can't do it. We need another power, mm-hmm. something that's greater than what we have. Mm. And it comes from the presence of the Lord, who yes. is the Holy Spirit, that's God's right. presence in the world today, personal that's reality.
That's right.
If by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will know this life divine. So I think what you're saying is, Eric, what we want to emphasize today in this podcast is that we cannot do any of this. We have got to put our trust mm-hmm. in God. And from that place, God will. We can trust him as sure as the sun rises every morning. We can be sure God will supply power to yeah. overcome in every area of life. That's if right. we will simply yield to him. I mean, look at this. Go down to in Romans chapter 8. Look at this verse 26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. That's hilarious, isn't it? Paul the Apostle says we don't know how to pray. Yeah. I mean, if anybody's a great prayer, if mm-hmm. anybody can teach mystical union with God, it's mm-hmm. Paul. But mm-hmm. this is Paul's teaching. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pray. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit, he says. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit. So we even see that we can't pray. Mm-hmm. We must depend upon the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So even memorizing formalities, formulas, techniques, mm-hmm. they're far inferior to, I give my attention to the Holy Spirit, but mm-hmm. the Spirit, his mind is on the Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is very interesting to me. And also in And here it says, verse 14, it says, for all who are, watch this, being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Being led. The word led has everything to do with being dependent on another.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's exactly what it is. So, I mean, summing all this up, we can't overcome sin without another power. Mm-hmm. And we know that power to be the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We can't pray without the power that comes from being attentive to the presence of the Spirit. Not only that, we can't follow. We're not sons of God. We're not actually walking unless we are dependent on the Spirit. So these three things are showing us just in this one chapter how beautiful. I mean, let's just look at one more real quick.
Sure, yeah, come on.
Verse 6. The mind set on the flesh. I know you've read this many times and probably taught this many times, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Yes, please do. Come on.
The mind set on the Spirit is death. I have experienced that death all the time, actually. When my mind is on the flesh, there's no production. Mm-hmm. There's no life. And death feels a certain way. It feels like confusion. It feels like worry. It feels like shame. It feels like frustration. There's no glide. There's no gliding. Mm-hmm. But the mind set on the presence of God, the Spirit, the mind set, you are here, I'm aware, let all my peace be found there. That is life and peace. And you and I know this realm and say we're addicted to this reality. Mm-hmm. God as life and peace. Life meaning he makes me produce, pop, snap, crackle, pop, by the power of another. And then also peace. Literally, it makes no sense sometimes to have peace in this world.
Yeah.
A peace that passes the ability to be understood. So all that to say, man, I think you're nailing it on the head by calling people's attention to the fact that we must see that our barrel is bone dry and we need the Holy Ghost.
So I'm thinking about King David, and I don't have the exact reference in front of me right now, unfortunately, but I think it's in Samuel probably. But it's when Ziklag was just plundered. And David was with his mighty men, and their women, their children, their money, everything was taken. And even his own people wanted to stone him and kill him. And David was in a predicament, all right? The weight of the world, everything was taken from him. Everything, all the natural possessions, his closest loved ones, his people's closest loved ones, and everything was taken. And even his own people were against him. And he had a choice to make. He could have been in despair. He could have had mind on flesh, like you're talking about, and just thought like, what? Nothing can be done. This is a horrible situation. We're never going to get out of this. I am going to die right now. He could have naturally went down that road and had his mind on flesh, which would have produced death. But instead, he made a choice to put his mind on the Spirit, which is life and peace. And it says that he sought the Lord, and it says that he strengthened himself in God.
Wow.
And you see that in the Psalms. You see his pattern of thought and his lifestyle in the book of Psalms, where he's just like, my adversaries surround me. My enemies are snarling at me. He was just like, the rich are prospering and we're da 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 and all this different stuff. But then he always came back to that place of, but the Lord is my rock. I will experience the goodness of God in the land of the living, and mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I trust in you, soul, hope in God, soul, bless God. And King David is just always going to that place of mind on the Spirit, which he received the strength he needed from that place to then overcome and be victorious and move forward to lead God's people the right way, to lead Israel the right way. And so anyway, that just popped into my head as like a kind of like a picture from the scriptures from what exactly you were saying, is that actually is a bedrock scripture for me, because I think it's very practical. When you're thinking anxious thoughts, when you're thinking lies about your identity, when people say that you can't do this, or people say you should be ashamed of yourself for acting like this, or I'm never going to get over this sin, or, I'm going to be, my whole life is going to be, everyone's going to succeed except for me. And we have all of these lies flooding our brain. All it does is produce unrest and anxiety and depression and fear and misery. But when we choose to say, no, you are good, you've called me, you love me, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me, and you choose to just get mind on Spirit, it produces life and peace. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
But we need to do that. That's a choice, though.
Absolutely. A choice. Mm-hmm. It is necessity. Absolutely. I've been reading the biography of John G. Payton. Mm. He was a missionary to what's now Vanuatu.
Yeah.
Bro, he had many times the cannibals there, there's an island of cannibals, savages. Many times they would come after him because they were upset with the worship of Yahweh. And they would want to kill him, obviously club him to death and put him on a grill and eat him.
But
the Lord would constantly deliver him. And he says this phrase several times in his biography. He says, "All my trust was in this. I will never leave you nor forsake you." He held on to the promise of Christ's presence.
Come on.
Bro, there's one part. Listen to this. You'll love this. You can draw spiritual truths from this. He's working on, I think he was making a door for his little wigwam or whatever it is that he's living. He's making this door. And in his peripheral vision, he can see savages coming in the woods. All over there, everywhere, all surrounded by him.
Sure.
He can see them. And they point their muskets that they got from traders. He said, muskets are all eye level to him, all around him. What a scene. That's, if you talk about fear, being surrounded by your enemy. And he's making his thing. And he says that in that moment, though he saw them there, he committed his soul to the Lord and continued his work. Didn't even give attention to them. And then he says this, a voice on the inside of him said, "Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And so he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, will you deliver me?" While he's making, he said, "Lord, will you deliver me? And even if you don't deliver me, I will go be with you." So bro, he doesn't stop working. All that to say, you can take a spiritual principle from this. Sometimes we feel like the muskets of the world surround us. We can get, you know, riddled with fear, or it doesn't make sense. There's no way out of this, whatever. Don't stop doing what God's called you to do. Just keep working.
Yes.
And commit yourself to the Lord and trust in him. Right here in Psalm 86, talking of David, he says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, answer me. I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. You, my God, you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you." I want to point out two things here. Watch this. He says, "I'm poor and needy. I trust in you." I think these things are married. Two sides of one coin.
They are. Yes, absolutely.
To trust is being poor. Being poor is to trust. So let me ask you a question. You have a church. You've traveled all over. You have ministry. You have business. You have all kinds of things. You have a family. What is it that helps you? Because everything that I just named are areas that need active trust in God. How do you trust in God for so many various different areas in your life?
That is a really good question. The one thing that has kept me strong in every season is that I have developed a history with God. And one thing that I tell everyone in our church and on the podcast is, if you're going to do anything in this life, learn how to pray. If you're to do anything in this life, learn how to pray. Because like what Heidi Baker says, all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. And so now, in this season, especially with being bivocational, leading a church, a young church, traveling on the road, amazing wife, three children, you know, doing so many different things. What I've developed is I actually start every day on my face. I start every day, and it wasn't easy. It's not like it. I there was days I didn't, and I wasn't legalistic in beating myself up about it. It's not like if I don't do that, then you know what I mean. Then God's going to be displeased with me today. It's not that. The heart is every day starting with the recognition of you are God, I am not, and I need you every moment, every hour. I need you. And if I start in his presence, I'll continue in his presence. And so John Bunyan actually said, "Those who run from the Lord in the morning will scarcely find him throughout the day." And if you want to switch that around, you could say, "Those who search for him in the morning will find him readily throughout the day." And so what I found is, if I don't begin my day in his presence, it will be very difficult to commune and walk and talk with him, because there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of people pulling on me. There's a lot of needs. It'll be harder to tune in. It'll be harder to ascend in worship and gain his mind and hear his voice. So even like we were saying with that man, with the tribe surrounding him and the danger surrounding him, the something that stuck out to me there was, this man has developed a history with God. like this man has learned to turn inward, to turn inward and to draw strength from his relationship with Christ, from the abiding Christ. He has learned to turn inward, draw his strength from within, to tune out what's going on around him and to look in and draw strength. And that's something that is developed, and it's not like the message that's going to get hundreds of thousands of likes. You know what I mean? Like a message on need and developing a history with God isn't necessarily, you know, the prophetic word of the year is going to get multiple millions of views. You know what I mean? But the most important thing for us as Christians, I think, is to have a strong spirit like John the Baptist to literally develop, yeah. Develop in that way. So anyway, man, that's maybe a longer answer to your question. But for me, that is the most important thing we could do in life, is because I couldn't do any of this stuff if it wasn't for him. And because of that, I've walked in favor. And because of that, I've prospered. And because life has been hard, but I've had breakthroughs. And because of that, I've seen his touch and his encounters. And he does lead, and we do listen. And so, you know, I can attribute all the good things to developing that and walking in that.
That's precious. What did Ravenhill say? Prayer is the language of the poor.
Amen. Come on, dude. It's like I said before, prayerlessness is a symptom of independence. If we're not praying, we don't realize we need him. But if we're praying continually, we recognize our need. And so I want to tap into this real quick, but you know, I want to tap into this to kind of close our podcast. So we still have like 10 minutes or so to dive into this, but sure. Something I mentioned about what's really cool is the prophetic, you know, word, or hey, we're looking for the prophetic word of 2025, or where, you know, this is what's getting the likes, you know what I mean? But when we talk about intimacy with God, or we talk about adoration, or if we talk about neediness and humility and integrity and all these essential things, like that isn't what's going to, you know, that's not the clickbait. You know what I mean? Because people want a prophetic word that's going to change their life that they don't need to put work into a lot of the time, you know, unfortunately. I love the prophetic. Okay. I'm saying I love the prophetic. I believe in our need for it, but I love his presence more. And so what I find is that we're so excited about a new thing. God's doing a new thing. We're getting a prophetic word for 2025 and da, 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 da. And God, there's a new wineskin. There's a new this and there's a new that. But what I've found, and not just with myself, what God's speaking to me, but what I've found in even many voices and many leaders and many beautiful people around the world is that God is calling us back to the old thing. He's calling us back to the ancient path of fasting and prayer and communion and abiding and silence and contemplation and bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Like we need to be fascinated with Christ again instead of fascinated with a new fluffy word. We need to go back to we're getting our eyes off the cross, the gospel, his presence. I really believe the Lord is, what does Bishop Mark Sharona say? He says, out with the old and in with the older. It's just like a comment that always says, like, we're going back to the cross. We're going back to the ancient path of contemplation and prayer and you know, the church, the beauty of the church, the importance of the communities of God that are surround his presence. And so anyway, I want to throw that out there and get your feedback on that, because this is something that I think about often.
Yeah, you and I have been around charismatic circles for a long time. And it seems like this is constantly a problem amidst our circles. Maybe not so much around like Presbyterians or, you know, Baptists or stuff. But when you get around our world where there's dreams and visions and all this kind of stuff, it's a problem. Where in the book of Acts chapter 17, Paul gets to the city of Athens. And it says here in verse 21 that the Athenians, they used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. They were obsessed with new things to talk about. And I think there's obviously that's Athens and actually people wanting to hear some new philosophy. But I think there's a spirit there.
Yeah.
If I could use our charismatic language.
Yeah.
There's a spirit that kind of makes its way into the church where we need to be constantly stimulated by something we think to be new. And I think that this is a danger, because what happens is we begin to have less regard for the fundamentals. We begin to say, I know that already. We begin to get bored with the gospel. My friend Dane Ortlund likes to say, the gospel is not the runway for the plane to take off. It's the engine in the plane.
Yes.
It keeps you. This is the actual force generator. You leave the gospel mm-hmm. and you have nothing left. Mm-hmm. In the gospel is all the revelation there is of Christ. So I'm with you that we should give ourselves to mastering the fundamentals. Bunky told me in a car one day, I picked him up from the airport, we were driving, and he said to me, Eric, I had all these questions for him. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I was 20 years old, always sure. looking into something new. Mm-hmm. And he turns to me and he says, Eric, never leave the ABCs. And at that time in my life, I was frustrated with that answer. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's kind of, but there is a D through Z now. Come on.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But now that I'm getting older, I see he was trying to save me. Mm-hmm. Don't leave the ABCs. Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. A resolute adherence to this man, Christ Jesus, the gospel itself. Herein we have an inexhaustible well of salvation, truth, life, presence. And I think this is a problem that happens, like you just mentioned, a desire for something stimulating mm-hmm. is something that's very dangerous in our midst. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So Eric, now actually, based on what you just said, I'm thinking about our earlier conversation of just how many believers don't recognize their need for him, number one, therefore aren't living daily with an awareness of his presence, drawing their strength and their comfort and their life from him. And so if these believers aren't doing that, then they will be bored with the gospel. They will be bored with Christ. And if they're bored with Christ and they're bored with the gospel because they're daily not recognizing their need and drawing their strength from him, then they will want something new to stimulate them. They yeah. will want something to fascinate their hearts because they're not fascinated by him, because they're not daily looking at him. And so that even goes back to the original root problem that we were talking about.
Absolutely. Do you know the name Michael Reeves?
Sounds familiar, but I can't think of a face right now.
He's written a couple of outstanding books. One of them is Delighting in the Trinity. Mm. Another one is called, I can't remember the other one. But he says Authentic Ministry, outstanding book for a pastoral staff to read together.
Awesome.
Authentic Ministry.
I'll check it out, yeah.
He says in the book, this real simple one-liner, he's talking about delight in God. He's talking about history with God. He's talking about living a spiritually revived life. And he says, Boredom is blindness. Boredom is
That's
blindness.
Right. I agree.
In other words, if you're bored of Christ, you're not looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So important.
Absolutely. And this is, you talked about a spirit. So, if you know, that's kind of, you know, trying to get the, like, wanting a new thing all the time. I think that from the dawn of the church, you know, you have Gnosticism, which was, you know, the desire for secret knowledge. And we don't need to go into like everything that the Gnostics believed, but that was what the first church, that was one of the heresies that the first church really kind of was warring with, especially the Apostle John. And 1 John said, if you don't say that Christ came in the flesh, then you're the Antichrist. And there was people that were Gnostics that believed that Jesus couldn't come in the flesh because flesh, anything natural is evil, anything spiritual is holy. And so they believed that Jesus was more like a hologram or a spirit and he didn't have a physical body. And these Gnostics also made themselves like kind of stand above others because they had the key of knowledge. They had a secret knowledge and everyone wanted to learn from them to gain that secret knowledge. So that's how they made people dependent upon them and their teachings as well, which we do see nowadays with a different face and a different form within Christianity where it's like, hey, the six keys of this and the two keys of that, and hey, read my book and then that's when you'll get your breakthrough or whatever. There is a touch of that. But something interesting happened to me the other day that you said, it reminds me, is because there's an individual that I know that really loves just like getting knowledge, and it's from the scriptures. They want to get more knowledge of the scriptures, but there's some things they say that I thought to myself, that's a little left field. Like, I don't know if that's I don't know if that's accurate, but they just get excited about just like, but so they're always trying to get new knowledge and it's like, and, but also the heart is good. Like, I know this person that loved the Lord, but I also know the propensity in this person. Like, even before they were a Christian, they had like, you know, really loved knowledge and being really smart. And so, but that night, and this is something that happens to me, if a spirit is operating or something is taking place, I'll often get attacked at night. I'll have a dream of something, I'll wake up and I'll recognize something's happening and I need to pray. And that night I had a dream of someone who was like, I've got the knowledge. I have, it was like the only time I've ever had a dream of someone that was like with that Gnostic spirit of like, you know what I mean? Like, I've got the key to this knowledge and you need to come to me to, you know, and I woke up and I felt a demon in the room and I had to wake up and I prayed and I cast it out. And this person was actually, you know, I spent time with that person during the day. And it gave me a little bit of wisdom to realize, like, I think that's what this person, pure heart, loves the Lord. Just like you said, blindness. There's just, as believers, we can have blind spots and we can't even participate with things that we don't even desire to participate with when we get our heart off of the main thing. And so this is just, I bring this up even as a slight warning of just like, hey guys, there's a lot of different elements going on out there. And if we're trying to just get our end time theology completely neat and we're getting really proud on exactly what we know about this or that, like be careful, because people have been debating this from the beginning, okay? And let's just, you know, for me, let's focus on the main things, the things that are very clear in scripture, knowing him, loving others, living for him with all of our hearts, being needy and humble before him, living a righteous life. These are the things you cannot debate. But the things about, you know, this crazy analogy we're getting from the Old Testament or exactly what our old, you know, this theology is of this or that, I think it becomes a slippery slope a little bit. And I think our charge today is Jesus. Be fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize your need for him and walk with him.
Absolutely. Let me just throw this in there real quick. Mm-hmm. I think that the number one prayer that I pray in my life is a repentance prayer. And it is this: Lord, forgive me for forgetting how beautiful you really are. It's a constant problem in my life. We don't want to present ourselves like we are, you know, so superior and we've locked it in. We both don't want to do that. Our heart is to recognize dependency even while we're teaching dependency. And I feel like that is the key. Maybe somebody's listening to us and they're just like, man, these guys have, they really mastered it. It's so deep, and they never, I want to steer them away from thinking that.
Yeah.
To looking at this. Starting every day by saying, like you said, starting every day by saying, Lord, I can't see. I'm blind. Help me.
Yeah.
God, I forgive me, Lord, for looking to other things. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you. Starting right at that place, scraping the bottom of the barrel by saying, Lord, forgive me for forgetting how beautiful you are. Please, I need divine illumination to see you for what you really are. Help me. That's the key. So it's not a difficult thing. And it's not even like a ladder that we've ascended or a spiritual advancement. It's a lowness of recognizing depravity. That's the key. So those of you that are listening, that's the key. Don't look at it as something to obtain. Look at it. Don't look at it as a ladder to climb. As a matter of fact, smash your ladders and burn them. Fall backwards. I remember Dane Ortlund said it like this. He said, you don't climb into God, you collapse into him. That's the secret. But if you look at it like climbing, you're only going to get more and more frustrated. But if you look at it as collapsing, you'll find the secret.
And many people look at it like climbing, and I've looked at it like climbing many times. And I need to repent when I still do look at it like climbing. And that's what I love, what you're saying about confession and declaring our need and going low. And because I feel like that can be a little bit lost today. I think that is a part of the ancient path as well. When you read the early church fathers and you read, you know, the scriptures, you just see confession. You see, Lord, forgive me, wash me of my iniquity, create in me a clean heart. May my words, my thoughts be pleasing unto you, my rock, my redeemer. You see this recognition. And so I feel like that, I think some streams in the church really, really do that well, actually. But in a lot of the camps I've run with, I don't think we have focused enough on, you know, repentance and confession along with the revelation of the gospel. Because if you just focus on our insufficiency, repentance and confession, you could become like this little nothing that has no standing with God and that is just like unforgiven and weak. But when you mix this beautiful humility and dependence with the confession of sin and repentance, when you mix that with an understanding of the gospel and the price that was paid and how valuable we are, then there's this beautiful reality. And so thank you for that picture of not climbing, but like falling back. I need to remind myself of that frequently.
That's good. You know, there's an old Puritan prayer. It says, grant me to feel my need of your continual saviorhood. Grant me, he's asking, Lord, help me, grant me to feel my need of your continual saviorhood.
What a sentence. What an amazing prayer. Every word just chock full of beauty. Man, well, hey, Eric, can we just close this in prayer? And for those who are not familiar with your ministry, I highly recommend that they go to YouTube as well as your website and find out more about you, and go to Spotify and look up Eric Gilmore so you get a lot of beautiful soaking worship and amazing things on there. And so, but yeah, can you close this in prayer, my friend?
Oh, yes, yes. Lord Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you. We lift you higher than everybody else, ourselves.
Yeah.
We put you in the highest place, and we say, you are the sun up in our sky, Lord.
Thank
you. You are the light rays that make us see. Not only do we see you, but by you we see. We worship you.
Yes.
We put you in that chief place of our attention, and we just say, blessed be your name. Holy are you, Lord. We yield to your majesty and glory. We are yours, Lord. We give to you our bodies, Lord. We give our bodies to you. We give our brains to you. The whole outlay of our lives, Lord, our families, Lord, we give everything over to you, Lord. Every molecule that we're made up of, Lord, we give it all to you in love. Lord, we thank you for your love for us and your kindness. And Lord, we pray for every viewer that you would cause these truths to sink deep into their hearts, to bring about an ease and a simplicity in living in and from your empowering presence.
Thank you.
In your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, man. It is always a joy to speak to you, my friend.
I feel the same, bro.
I always leave our conversations just edified and just overflowing with the Holy Spirit, man. I'm like, man, I took a drink this morning talking to you, man. So much truth. I love talking about the Lord with you. And so bless you, man. I look forward to doing this again soon and talking to you soon.
Me too. God bless, brother.
Yes. For those who are watching and listening, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so we can get it out to more people so they can be blessed, strengthened, and awakened by the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll speak to you next time on Awaken Podcast. I want to take a brief moment and invite you to Awaken Dallas. My wife and I pastor this church. We planted it in 2023 with a heart to host God's presence, to raise up lovers of Him that are compelled to go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As believers, we're called to be lovers of Him, but also laborers in His harvest field. We're called to be worshipers of Him, but also warriors that take ground for the kingdom of God. We're called to be sons of God, but also servants of the Lord. And our vision is to know Jesus deeply and to live for Him passionately. And our four pillars are, number one, the presence of God. We need Him more than anything else. We live in His presence and from His presence, and we're equipping the church to do that. Number two, equipping. We're equipping you with the Word of God. We're equipping you with teaching. We're equipping you through giving you tools and resources to walk in wholeness and fullness in your life, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Number three, mission. We're a church on mission together, but we're also a church on fire for missions. We believe in going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have a heart for missions, you'll feel very at home at our church. There's a lot of people that are missionaries going out on the mission field and have a heart for missions. And number four, we are a family. As soon as you walk in, you're going to feel that. You're going to sense how the love for you that we have for one another, the community that's growing. And so if you're looking for a church in the Dallas area, come out, join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. You can go to awakendallas.com for more information. See you there.